We always check some very important indicators of our students' success. One of them is fourth grade reading. We know that, based on the research, that reading ability by the end of third grade matters a great deal to later educational success. Not because it's the only thing that matters, but it just has a lot of proxy power in terms of what else might be happening in a young person's life. It's said that up until the end of third grade, you're learning how to read. After third grade, it's expected that you are reading to learn. That's why it's just such a key benchmark.
And looking at that fourth grade reading score, where have we been historically in Rhode Island?
Well, there's a couple of different measures. There's the nation's report card, which is the NAEP score. And on that measure, we rank about 15th in the country, 15th best in terms of our fourth grade reading score.
So that's not so bad.
That isn't so bad. And that is something that we want to improve even more. The NECAP shows another story, which is that we have been making progress in recent years, but we still have a long way to go. So, for example, we have 71% of our fourth grade students in Rhode Island reading proficiently. And that was an increase from 60% just in 2005. So we're starting to see some trends going in the right direction.
So when it comes to reading, we have some positive momentum, and we're actually scoring not too poorly when compared to the rest of the nation, although we're still lagging a bit compared with our New England neighbors. What about mathematics? How have Rhode Island students been doing in mathematics?
Well, we're showing from the last round of NECAPs that 65% of fourth graders were proficient in math, and 58% of eighth graders were proficient in math. So that shows a much larger proficiency gap for math than for reading. And then when you look down on some of the other snapshots by race, ethnicity, by low-income students versus high-income students, I think the story is that there is a lot of work to be done to close major achievement gaps in both reading and math.
Yes, those achievement gaps have been so stubborn. Elizabeth Burke Bryant, what's your sense of what is behind those gaps? Why has it been so hard to close them?
Well, I think, first of all, starting with the facts, in Rhode Island in math, in 2011, 75% of white children scored at or above proficiency in math, compared to 44% of Hispanic children and 43% of black children. And by income, it's the same kind of a gap. So those are very glaring achievement gaps. And there's been a lot of emphasis on really trying to report on data to call out those numbers so that they're not hidden in the statewide totals. I think that, you know, part of it is that we have a lot of work to do to have students make the steady progress from grade to grade and not fall behind. We need early warning systems that are really working in school districts to be able to identify and catch up kids that are falling behind in both reading and math. And so the level of effort that it takes, not just to keep the number going statewide, but to close those gaps, is something that is a very, very big level of effort, but one that we have the know-how to do. And it's an issue not just for Rhode Island, but for the rest of the country. But we have to make progress on closing those gaps, or there's no way that the overall numbers are going to move in the direction that Rhode Island's future economy needs.
Now, another reason a lot of people are going to be looking very closely at this new NECAP report is that students in this year's 11th grade need to score partially proficient or better to graduate from high school. It's a new requirement that the state has added. What do you think about this requirement? Is it something you support?
We think that there's a very, very important notion of having the scores be among the measures that are looked at for the high school graduation requirements, not the only ones, but among them, as objective measures of student proficiency in core subjects that are very important to their learning and to their educational success. That said, I think that from the moment that these requirements were put into place, it's really incumbent upon everyone who cares about kids to start early in terms of identifying kids that could be at risk for not achieving the required levels of proficiency on these tests that are now part of graduation rate. So I think a lot of times the question should be turned around of what intervention strategies have there been by district, knowing that this is a requirement that is coming down the pike very, very quickly. What have been the actual interventions over the past couple of years in order to try to catch kids up?
You mentioned earlier the gaps, the achievement gaps, and this is very apparent when it comes to high school seniors because the percentage of students at risk is much larger in urban school districts than it is for suburban districts.
And to that, I would say the high standards have to be in place for all kids, regardless of where they live or regardless of their race and ethnicity. So I think the key question here is, how are we intervening earlier with solutions and strategies that work?
Elizabeth Burke-Bryant, some critics of standardized testing say it's really unfair to students. A number, a test score should not define a student. And they also point to the fact that teachers tend to narrow their curriculum when testing season comes because there's just such a focus on getting those scores up. Do you share that concern?
Well, I think it's a valid concern. I think we want a well-balanced and enlightening education for our young people in all of its breadth and depth. I think that there's ways to have both and, that we have both that kind of engagement and curriculum that is broad and that is rich, as well as have certain standards of expectation and high standards for our students that will allow them to be able to go forth from our high schools and really reach their dreams. The way the world continues to work is that numbers do matter. Having a certain level of proficiency is the gateway to many careers. And so I think we really need to see it as a both-and situation. How do we have a real focus on what we don't want this kind of emphasis to cost our students in terms of rich, deep, important, varied curriculum, but at the same time not shortchange their dreams in order to, in terms of not having them have what they need to succeed and to have many choices after they graduate for what they want to do with their lives. It's a very hard time in Rhode Island. It's a hard time in the rest of the country to really get this straight, but I think it's really that both and that we want for all of our students.
Okay, well, Elizabeth Burke-Bryant from Rhode Island Kids Count, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.